Why are you here? What are you expecting? How will you know if it's achieved? They say that questions change your brain. Questions trigger a mental reflex known as instinctive elaboration. And when a question is posed, it takes over the brain's thought process. And when your brain is thinking about the answer, it can't contemplate anything else. Behavioral scientists have found that just asking people about their future decisions significantly influences those decisions. So why do questions have such an influence on the decision-making process? First and foremost, they prompt the brain to contemplate a behavior, which increases the probability that that behavior will be acted on in the future. Now, I want you to take that thought and store that away, because we're going to be referring to that in the weeks to come as we work our way through John chapter 4. What if you could learn to ask questions that would change the world? You may have a tendency to say, Don't think that. Don't say that. What if you could ask questions that would change the world? That's what we're looking at this morning. John chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. The journey? What journey? Well, this journey. Jesus was probably there, the lower right-hand corner, you see that arrow? He was probably there, and he made it up to Sychar. So I did some studying, and according to Google Maps, that distance is a 20-hour walk. So, we're not the same people today that were here 2,000 years ago. They walked more. So let's say it's an 18-hour walk. It's more of a walk than you could do in one day. So this was probably a two-day journey. And we're told this was about noon. Let's keep reading. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So Jesus asked that question. This whole interaction starts with Jesus asking a question. And that got me thinking. Jesus asked questions a lot. And I was wondering, how many questions did Jesus ask? I don't know. Just think of a number in your head. How many do you think he asked? He asked 305 questions. And I was like, what? That's crazy. And so I looked at that whole list and sorted them. And then there's some duplicates from Jesus asked the same question. It's recorded in different gospels. So there are, as I count them, your mileage may vary, but as I count them, there were 250 unique questions Jesus asked. It's like, wow. That's mind-boggling to me. 250 questions. And so, you know me, I like to diagnose things and go, well, what kind of questions did he ask? Well, 10 questions had to do about what do you think? Asking people how they think. 22 questions about faith and belief. 4 times he said, "Oh, you of little faith." 25 questions start with "do." And 6 more start with "don't." And 25, these are my favorite, because that's my favorite question. What's my favorite question? Why? 25 start with why. Why? 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 And so here are a few examples. I thought we'd just take a look at some examples of Jesus' question. In John 20, 32, there were two blind men at Jericho. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And then in the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Luke chapter 6, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" In Luke 8, 45, to the woman with the issue of blood, he asked, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And in Matthew 16, 15, he said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And he asked that of the disciples when they were at Caesarea Philippi. So, why did Jesus ask questions? Was Jesus getting new information? Jesus knew everything. So there was no new information that he was gathering. He wasn't doing a study. Well, let me see if I can find something out. He knew everything. Jesus gained no information. So why, there's my question, why did he ask so many questions? And Jesus, first of all, asked questions so that you would respond to Jesus. Jesus asked questions so that you would respond to him. Jesus longs to hear from you. Isn't that crazy? Like, he's the God of the universe. I don't know if you know this, there's a lot of stuff happening all over the world. And it's as though Jesus goes, "Hey, shh, everybody, quiet. Sue's talking to me." And he focuses on Sue like she's the only person in the world. And here's the crazy thing. He does that to each one of us. Jesus longs to hear from you. That's why he asks questions. 12 times he tells us to ask him. Ask me. Ask me. And Jesus didn't drone on and on in a monologue. Wah, 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 wah. What would he do? He would ask questions and draw people into a dialogue, into a deeper conversation. He was God of the universe, and he could talk for 3.5 years continuously without saying something the second time of everything he knew. But instead, he listens. There's another reason that Jesus asked questions. He asked questions to invite you to think. He invites you to think. 10 times he asked people to think. Has this ever happened to you? You've got this course of action. You have got a plan. You've read over it. You've, you know, put a PowerPoint presentation together. You're ready to go. You got your plan. And then somebody asks you some questions. And you're like, "Oh, well, huh, that's a good question." And you begin questioning why you're doing things that way. There was a period in my life where I had a plan. This is going to be next. And we had prayed about it. We had a team of people together. We were going to move forward. And one morning, here's the thing. I sent out an email, a prayer email, and I said, "Hey, pray for me." The next morning, one guy came to me and said, "Ken, are you sure about this?" Yeah, I'm sure. Then another guy, half an hour later, "Ken, are you sure about this?" And I was like, uh-oh. I have to push the pause button. And I pushed that pause button. I contacted a mentor and I said, "What do I do?" And I got some great advice. And I pushed the stop button, and we changed rerouting, and it changed directions. Questions help us to do that. It invites us to rethink things. And Jesus also asks questions because Jesus wants us to notice our own mess. I don't know if your house is like our house was growing up, but there were 7 kids. And I tell you that so that you don't think poorly of my parents. We can wreak a lot of havoc. And so we lived up a long lane. And so when somebody would come up the lane, we had time. Someone's coming up the lane! Someone's coming up the lane! And we had some places where we would throw stuff in a hurry. Because it was at that moment we noticed our own mess. Right? And so Jesus asks us questions so that we notice. Because I don't know if you're good at this or not, but we can act like everything's okay. How you doing? Fine. Cool. Good. Liar. You know what I mean? And Jesus asks us questions so that we realize, oh man, I'm actually standing in it. This is a mess. What am I doing? I'm lying to myself. And so that's why Jesus asks us, he wants us to own our own mess. Why? So he can be mean to us? No. So he can help us. I can help you with that mess, but first of all, you have to realize where you actually are. Lord, I'm actually in a big mess. Ah, Ken, I've been waiting for you to admit that. And so Jesus wants us to walk through that process. And so Jesus asks us questions for that reason. Now let's kind of turn a corner. We've been talking generally about questions. Now let's look specifically at the question Jesus asked and see what we can learn from that. Jesus asked the Samaritan woman, "Will you give me a drink?" So he asked questions so that you would use questions like Jesus did. He wants us to learn from how he asked questions and ask similar questions. So, use questions like Jesus did. He said, will. Give people an option. Give people an option. And you ask a question so that people have to make a decision. Give them an option. Demonstrate that you're open for whatever they want to say, whatever response they have. Will. And then he said, will you? Jesus didn't say, will somebody get me a drink? Hello? Somebody give me a drink? No. He was very specific. Will you? Ask specific questions. He was not asking about the general population. Will you? Will you? So when you ask a question, make it specific. And then he said, will you give me a drink? Express a need. We tend to act like we have it all together. But Jesus expressed a need. Will you give me a drink? So don't be afraid to do that. And it's amazing how that can tear down walls. On my second trip to Egypt, the second flight of that journey, I was sitting next to a lady, and I found out later she was a professor in Alexandria. And I had a problem. I always carry 3 pens in my pocket. And my blue pen, just like this pen, decided that its contents were going to no longer remain inside the pen. And I had a blue pocket, and my hands were all blue. And I was on an airplane. And I was looking for something to wipe them on, like a napkin or something. And she noticed my plight. And she said, "Oh, let me help you." And she dug in her purse and she got out some perfume. I don't know if you know this. I learned that that day. She sprayed perfume all over my hands. And then there was a Kleenex there, and that cleaned off the ink. Isn't that cool? So if that ever happens to you, I got to Egypt smelling really good. And then the cool thing is we started a conversation. And we started sharing back and forth, and she said, "Oh, you're from America. I've always wanted to go to America. There's a conference that I'd love to go to in Chicago, but I see America on the news, and I'm afraid I wouldn't be safe. I don't think I should go to America." And I said, "Oh, that's exactly how I felt going to Egypt." And I talked about the first trip we had to Egypt and all the cool things that happened. And I said, "Don't be afraid. Come to America. You'll be fine." And so, you know, it was a great conversation that we had. All because I'm messy and I had a need. Let's kind of skip ahead to grab something about the interaction that's going on that I think is important. If we jump ahead to verse 28 in this passage, it says, "Then leaving her water jar." Why am I jumping ahead? What did Jesus say he wanted? A drink. Jesus didn't get a drink. He didn't get a drink. Her water jar was right there. So Jesus, being God, knew he wasn't going to have a drink, right? Why would he ask for a drink if he knew, "Well, I'm not going to get it. Why ask?" He had a plan. It wasn't about getting a drink. He wanted to start a conversation. See, we need to use questions like Jesus did. Why? To serve people. We need to ask questions like Jesus did to serve people. It isn't about people getting people to do something for you. Was Jesus still thirsty? Yes, he was still thirsty. But there were more important priorities than physical thirst, and that was a spiritual hunger that was in this woman, and he knew the way to get her to open up to her own mess is to start with a question. And so that's what Jesus did. Jesus served, just like we need to serve. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." You will never make friends trying to get people interested in you. The goal is not to be interesting. The goal is to be interested in others. And that's exactly what Jesus did. It's amazing to me how much people will open up when you show genuine interest in people. One of my favorite things to do, and I may just have to follow through on this and write a book, but I go to people who work with the public, people at a hotel front desk, people who serve in restaurants in various capacities, and I'm talking to them, and somebody does something, and I say something like, "Wow, it's too bad that happened. I bet you could write a book." And guess what they do? They go, oh, yeah, you'll never believe it. We had somebody in here last week, blah, 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 blah. And they'll just tell the most incredible stories. And I should just take a year off and just go around and talk to all these people and write down all the stories, and then everybody would buy my book. I'm not going to do that, but that would be fun, wouldn't it? And it's amazing how you just have an interest and listen, and people will pour out all kinds of stuff that their bosses probably don't want them saying to a customer. Why do they do it? Because I was interested in what they had to say. I was interested in their perspective. Jesus did that with this Samaritan woman. Notice what it says in James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Slow, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I like diagrams, so I diagram that way. See, that's what I think that says. Listen, that's big font, plus speak, very little. And anger is really tired. Now, you don't have to do it that way. I'm not saying you have to do it that way, because the alternative is this. You listen a little bit. And the only way you listen is you always listen with your answer running. You know what that is? Like, you go ahead and breathe. You take a pause for half a second. I got my answer ready to go. And I'm just waiting for that pause. Come on, come on, stop. Come on, I'm ready. And you're not really listening. And then what happens? Got a lot of anger. Because you're not really listening. You're not understanding. To serve people, connect with their interests, and then listen. Listen. Isn't that crazy? Jesus created the universe. And he listened. He listened. There was a Samaritan woman talking to him, and he didn't interrupt her. And he said, can you hurry this up? I've got the world to save. Hello? He didn't say that. He listened. What's on your agenda? How busy are you? How busy am I? That we can't spend 5 minutes listening to somebody who's pouring out their heart. I don't know what's on your agenda. How many of you are going to die for the world? Jesus was. Jesus had a critical agenda, and yet he listened, and he was interested in what she had to say. That blows my mind. He was interested, and he listened, and so should we. Just sense what's going on with somebody else. I was in line at the Starbucks at Martin's a number of years ago, and a lady came in. I think it was like Christmas time or something, and you know how they have seasonal drinks, and the lady in front of me ordered one of those seasonal drinks. And the barista said, I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore. And this lady just went off. Why every time I come in here, it's never ready. And just chewed this lady, the barista, out and stomped off. And I was next. And so this poor barista, she had the brave face on, but you could tell she was bruised from that interaction. And she pulled it together enough to say, can I help you? And so I just simply said, can you give me a list of things you don't have and I can order one of those? And that's what she did. And she laughed and we got to be friends. Because I took an interest in her life. And I listened. And helped ease the tension that was there. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be served. Which would have made more sense if he came to be served. Because he's God. He's creator. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what we do when we take an interest and when we listen. Here's the bottom line. Serve people by asking questions and listen to their answers. Serve people. Listen. Ask questions. What would the world look like if we did that? What would this community look like if we did that? It would change this whole community. You talk about the anger. We looked at in James 1:19. That anger would begin to go away because people feel listened to, taken seriously, and affirmed as significant. There was a guy named Mark. Mark was in junior high school. And he was walking home one day when he noticed a boy ahead of him tripped and dropped all of his books that he was carrying. He had, along with two sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. And so Mark, you know, helped the guy pick up all this stuff. And since they were going the same direction, he carried it to this guy's house. He found out this guy's name was Bill, that Bill loved video games and baseball and history. And he said he was having a lot of trouble with his other classes, and he had just broken up with his girlfriend. And they arrived at Bill's house first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke and to watch some TV. And, you know, they talked a little bit that afternoon, had a few laughs, and then Mark went home. And they continued to see each other around school. They had lunch together a couple of times. And then they graduated from junior high school and went to high school. And they would see each other around in high school. But, you know, they never were really close friends. They'd see each other and say hi and stuff. And then came the long-awaited year when they would graduate from high school. And 3 weeks before they graduated, Bill asked Mark if they could talk. And Bill reminded him the day, the years before that they had met. He said, "Did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" Bill asked, "You see, I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anybody else. I had stored away some of my mom's sleeping pills and I was going to go home and commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized that if I killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many others that might follow. You see, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you did more than that. You saved my life." When we listen to people, you don't know how many people are crying who are dying inside, waiting for someone to listen to them and take them seriously. Listening to other people changes the world. Would you stand with me? As we go to prayer, I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. I want you to ask the Lord to do an inventory in your life. All the hurriedness that causes you to walk past glaring needs. Ask God to slow you down. Ask God to raise your antenna. Ask God to shine a spotlight on the people that He wants you to. to engage in a conversation by simply asking one question. Let's pray together. Father, sensitize my heart. Sensitize our hearts to the needs of others around us. Open our eyes. Give us good questions to ask. Father, use our gifts, our curiosity, to build a bridge of concern to someone who's hurting, so that we can make a difference in their lives, so that you can make a difference in their lives. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and now through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.